Tracy Strash is the owner of B1 Yoga Studio and the founder of Lifestyle and Wellness Connection. Through these companies, Tracy has booked and successfully executed many different styles of wellness events and retreats. So today I wanted to sit down with Tracy and talk about the process that she goes through when trying to find spaces to book retreats at, how to book retreats in general, what size, what offerings, the food, the space, all the beautiful things, a lot of the details that we might be thinking of, and a lot of the details we might not be thinking of. So I really hope you get something out of this conversation. Wellness retreats are a beautiful way to expand your practice, to meet different types of people with similar kind of mindsets, and just to do something different with your life. So I really hope you get something out of this conversation. We'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back to our show. Today I'm talking to a beautiful friend of mine, Miss Tracy Strash. So Tracy was on the show probably 2 years ago now. I mean, you were one of the first guests I think I had back in the day. So Tracy is the owner of B1 Yoga over in Kirkland area in Washington, and the founder and owner of Lifestyle Wellness and Connection. And so today I'm having Tracy on because Tracy has hosted many retreats now. She's hosted local retreats in Washington area, some that I've helped out with at places like Wallace Falls. And then she's, over the past couple of years, been venturing out and did a retreat in Mexico in Baja last year, and is doing a retreat in Costa Rica this year. And actually, I guess it's 2024, right?
Yes.
Just with the success that she's had and with as many conversations as I have with people about booking retreats and attending retreats, and what do I look for? What kind of insurance do I need? Like all the details that go into it. Again, whether you're like planning a retreat yourself and you're facilitating it, or if you're looking to attend a retreat. And I just figured it'd be great to have you on and to talk about this and to get a firsthand account from like what to look for, some of the dangers to look for, some of the things that's like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. Now we're here and I got to figure this out. Like, holy crap. And, if we could answer a lot of those questions beforehand, things would get a little bit easier, right? So thank you so much for being on and sharing your time and your wisdom.
Well, thank you for having me today, Adam. It's always fun to come and chat with you anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
why don't we start with your retreat that you have coming up in Costa Rica?
Yes, we have our destination retreat, Costa Rica, April 20th to 27th, 2024. And I chose Costa Rica. I wanted to have like another kind of tropical type of destination, but I really try to find a connection of another person that maybe had attended at a retreat or had been in the area, or even a connection with like the owner of the place when you're going somewhere far away, because you just don't know what you're going to get yourself into.
Right, yeah.
And there's a zillion retreats in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. So that's kind of how I narrowed it down to the specific place that we decided to go this particular time, which is Blue Osa Resort.
Mm-hmm. And Yogi Aaron is a friend of the show.
Yes.
And he's the owner of the Blue Osa Resort.
Yes. And how I was introduced to Yogi Aaron is one of our instructors, Steve, mm-hmm. Did his training there, and he had come back talking about it. And then maybe a year later, maybe a few months, 9 months maybe later, he asked if we would do a workshop for Yogi Aaron when he was in town, like a master class. And I was like, well, who's this Yogi Aaron and what's this all about?
Yeah.
And so he connected me, and Yogi Aaron is awesome, really fun to be around and very skilled in different things, but especially his type of training that he does. Mm-hmm. And so I agreed to do that. And so I got to meet him in person, talk to him a little bit more about his resort, and it was funny because I had already, Blue Osa was one of the ones I had been researching already.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So then hadn't made the connection that he was the owner yet. So then when I did and I met him, I felt a lot better about it and decided to go ahead and book the resort there. So it's a little bit of a shot in the dark sometimes.
Right.
And you want to make sure you're responsible for bringing these people to another country or doing this international traveling. And when I went to Mexico to Topia Retreat Center, I had the connection of the owner, Shelley, and her husband had lived up here and had decided to go down and build their retreat center. So that was great. But now I have the experience of two completely different types of retreat, one of which you can buy out the whole place and have your host your retreat, one of which you cannot buy it out and you're paying per person to the retreat as you build your participants.
Okay. And in that style, if you're not buying out the retreat center, do you run the risk of them booking out other, you know, people or clients or other things that might coincide with what you're doing as well?
So I'm going to say yes and no. So okay. in the case of Topia Retreat Center, it would be no, because we still have the whole facility to ourselves, but they don't allow a buyout because it creates more income for them.
Right, right.
The way that they have it set up. So they give you their base rates of what they would rent out a room for. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's not with a retreat, that's just renting the room, going just and staying there.
Yep.
And then you take that base and you create your package of what you're going to offer, the food, any excursions, activities you're doing, the yoga, of course, all of those things. And you add on the amount that you need to cover those costs and then maybe a little more for your profit. Mm-hmm. And then those are the prices that you put out there. So as somebody purchases that, then the base rate is going to, that the facility gave me, that Topia gave me, is going to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only going to get that other amount. So I have to really budget and make sure that I'm covering my cost and you know, everything's taken care of. Versus when you buy it out, they say for X amount, $20,000 at sale, just so that figure out there, you can rent this facility. Mm-hmm. And there's two options. So it could be the option that you are renting a part of it, like a certain amount of rooms, and then they could have other rooms that they rent to other people that are on site when you're having your retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do a complete buyout where you buy the whole facility, which is what I did for this Costa Rica retreat. And so I have to pay them that X amount regardless of how many people I come.
Right.
Yep. I'm on the hook for the full amount. And so I have to budget it, my rooms accordingly to be able to cover my cost as a minimum and then hopefully be able to add other fun things to the retreat and maybe make a little money.
Yep. Right. Exactly. That profit. I mean, we want to do this because they're fun to do. They're great experiences to have, but as a business person, you know, there's the profit, right? So we can continue to do this. Right. And so and I say that because in the energy and the wellness field, a lot of times we have this like guilt around making money. But for us to do what we need to do, we need to make money, right? We're householders. We're part of this economy. We're part of this society. The way that you make that money and how honorable you are, that's up to you, right? It's like your morals and ethics, right? But, you know, finding what makes the most sense to you. Now, with the rooms themselves, we'll take Blue Osa, for example. Is that room rental including any kind of food, any kind of like chef package, any kind of thing like that? Or is it just the room and then all the food and stuff like that starts to add up afterwards?
So in both cases, with Topia and with Blue Osa, you negotiate your package first.
Okay.
So that's going to include all of those things. So then I'm selling an all-inclusive retreat, that means it's going to be their room, their meals, any activities associated with the retreat, the yoga, meditation, whatever we're going to do. Maybe we do excursions together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have, you know, a chef come in and we do a cooking class. You can get really specific with fun things. Like in Topia, we were in Pescadero, which is, I don't know which direction. I think it's north of Cabo, right?
Not great with geography,
so I can point it out on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But we took a day trip to Todos Santos, and that was part of my package that I booked with Topia. So we had the transportation included to get there, and we had lunch planned. Mm-hmm. That was part. So my members, my participants, are going to know all of that's included, and then let them know what's not. It's really important when you're putting together the what's included in a retreat to also put in what's not included.
Right.
And that's been a learning curve, but as with everything, you know, each retreat, you learn a little bit more about what you need to be very, really specific about for people.
Yeah. And what would be an example of something not included and why you would say, hey, this is an option, but we're not including this in the price?
Yeah, absolutely. So, airfare is never included.
Right.
I don't know how much people's airfare is going to be, and I don't want to have to cover that cost. Yeah. So that's part of it. A local retreat, you're not going to have that issue. Your local retreat, they're going to drive there, so that's going to be easy. But a destination, you would have airfare. Any alcohol, if there's a place you're going that has alcohol and you can choose to have it or not have it, you need to be clear that that's not part of the package. They need to pay for that on their own. So in the case of Topia, the center was very private, so there weren't people coming from like public people coming. It was just our own people there, and they had a bar set up, and you could choose to get a drink with alcohol, and then they had like a list that they would keep track, and then at the end, each person had to pay like their bar bill.
Okay.
That's how they had it set up. I'm not sure yet how Blue Oyster is going to be set up, but something similar. And the bars only open certain hours. It's not like you can be partying all night or anything right, like that. Like, these are not the type of retreats that I'm having anyway.
Yeah.
So I think the bar actually, it switches back from a smoothie bar to serving other beverages bar. So yeah, so we'll have both options.
Yeah.
So that's something to make sure that they know that that's not included. I found that you need to be very clear about the transportation, the shuttles, the in between, like when you get to the airport to get to the destination.
Right, yeah.
Transfers. That's the word I was trying to think of. The transfers between different places. So if you are providing that and you say that in there, then not only do you need to be specific to say, yes, we are providing this transfer to from this point to this point, but I found you have to be specific on the time. You have to say, this is when it's going to be there, and this is when we're leaving, and then arriving at this time, so that people know that regardless of when their flight comes in, they only have that time slot. If it's a different time slot, they have to get their own transportation.
Right.
So this is what we're providing. So to give an example, in the Mexico retreat, we went into Todos Santos as a group. Part of the group decided to go do something different, which is always okay. It's your time. You can choose to spend it however you want. However, our shuttle was leaving at a certain time. So I told that group, this is the time the shuttle's leaving. If you aren't ready to come back, then you just have to get your own transportation coming back, and we'll meet you back at the facility. And so they did. And so I wasn't as specific in the wording at the time that I booked it. So I had to like really make sure that they understood when we were there. But I did get a little pushback for somebody who decided to change their flight when they were at the retreat and leave a little bit earlier on the last day. And we had two shuttles. We had like early morning and then a little later. And hers was really early morning. And I was like, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to pay for your own transportation to get there. Well, she said, it was included to the airport. And I said, yeah, but these were the times. And I based them on the flights that you gave me when you booked the retreat.
Right.
And now it's a day before we're leaving and you changed it that I can't cover that cost. Because it's, you pay the same whether it's one person or if it's a full shuttle. Right.
Yeah.
So she was able to work that out with Topia, was able to get her a different type of transportation to get her there and pay for that. So you, in a way, you know, of course, I'm human. I might feel bad having to stick to the rules and tell people this or that, but also you can be nickel and dimed really quickly if you don't have clear boundaries
right. And
clear expectations for what's going on. So,
yeah. And it's important to know that, like, it's not like you're being greedy. You've set the standard. You've already set the expectations and now you're managing those expectations. And to your point, you know, like, yeah, you can get nickel and dime real quick, you know, and it's just like, oh, just that there. Oh, just that there. Oh, just that. There. Oh, now I don't have any profit anymore. Like, oh crap. Like, you know, this retreat that I've given is now costing me money instead of making money off of. And again, if we want to continue to do this and offer these things to our public and our communities, we need to make some kind of money off it.
It's just something for leaders to think about ahead of time. To think about all those little details just so that they don't put themselves in a position where they're having to put out money that they didn't expect to. And it may be a little sum or it could be a big thing. I mean, it just depends on what that expectation was if it wasn't clear ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, and there's one thing that I've noticed that you did too, I think with the Baja retreat and maybe with the Costa Rica that I've seen with the verbiage so far, but it's, you know, the things that you're offering, it's a, this is what I offer, this is what I don't offer. And the things that I don't offer, this is going to be the pricing for that because there's still fun things to do, right? Yes. And you can go take surfing lessons. You can go swim with turtles and play with monkeys or do whatever the hell you want, right? Yeah. I'm not going to offer that, but this is the pricing and these are the people you can look to if you want to do that.
this is interesting. I was talking about this morning with my co-leader for Costa Rica, that the excursions are a big part of it, especially when you're going on these destination retreats, because nobody wants to just go somewhere, show up, and just be doing a yoga class. You're going to another country. You want to experience whatever that culture has to offer. Mm-hmm. So excursions are super fun, and they're a great addition to any retreat. So I typically find out what's available through the retreat center that I'm working with, the staying at, and I find out what the pricing is. And then ahead of time, I get a head count of who wants to do this retreat or the excursion, who wants to do that excursion. So I have an idea of how many people will be doing each one, and then which ones might fall off completely that, you know, people don't want to do at all, or maybe something new comes up. Mm. And if the facility themselves don't offer that, they usually can connect you with a reputable company that can. And that's the only way I would do it. I would not want people on their own going out and talking to some random, you know, person that lived in that area and saying, will you take me out on your boat? Like, no, let's make sure that we know who they are and it's reputable and it's safe and, you know, all those things. So, so I try to do that ahead of time, and realizing in my conversation today, it's not necessary. I guess I don't necessarily need to do that, but I think it's a better service to my participants for them. They like to know that they're spending this amount of money on whatever excursion, they come prepared for that. I mean, they have, you know, rather than getting there and then deciding what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So you could do it either way, whatever like fit, you know, your personality and your style of leading. But I prefer to have an idea and to plan it and let the facility know we're coming, this many people want to do this one, and this one, so that we can be set up ahead of time.
Yeah. And I, you know, one of the things I loved about the retreats that you've done that I've been a part of is that there's all these offerings that you can do, whether it's a yoga class or sound baths that you've had me do, Reiki, massage, facials, like all these beautiful offerings, but they're not always mandatory, even if they're included in the, you know, purchase price. And I love the fact that you give people the freedom to explore themselves and to honor their bodies and honor their practices. And, you know, it's like, I don't feel like doing yoga this morning, so I'm not going to get up and go do the yoga. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go sit on the couch by the fire and read a book and be totally fine with that.
Absolutely. People are paying to come on this experience. And that's really what I'm providing, right? I'm providing an experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to you how much you want to participate in that experience. And it's not for me to tell you, you have to be at every yoga class or that you have to go on this excursion with us or this hike or come down and eat this particular meal that we're having. You know, I've had people bring their own food. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's lots of different things that go on. But regardless, it's up to you. So I want people to feel comfortable. If this means that they want to come and hang out in their room and sleep the whole time, and that's what they needed, and that's what they, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I know that they're safe, you know, they're okay. If they need anything, they know that I'm available, then they can do whatever they want to do. So
yeah,
I think that's really important. I can't imagine demanding that people be a part of every little thing. That would just be exhausting.
Yeah. I haven't been a part of a retreat where it was a mandatory. Well, they call it a retreat, but it was Vipassana, and they call it a retreat, but you just really want to retreat from life because it's so fucking hard, you know? So it's like, oh God, I just want to retreat, but it's not actually a retreat. Like there's no like fun bells and whistles. It's you meditating for 11 hours a day for 10 days straight. So, yeah.
And I'm assuming that's mandatory to do the meditation.
Mandatory to do the meditation.
Yep. So, yeah, I could see where that would be a little different.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, with the spaces that you've been at outside of the country so far in Mexico and in Costa Rica, that's the future one. So back with the food, you know, a lot of times what I hear is that a lot of these places they'll draw from local communities, right?
Yes.
They'll shop at the local produce markets. They'll have a local chef come in or a local bartender or whatever that is. And what I love about that is that you're already investing in the community and then their society by being there, by booking their place, right? In Costa Rica and Baja. But then like, the facility itself is drawing on the community that it's a part of and drawing the food from that area and drawing local talent from that area. And so you're bringing a lot of economy to their space and helping their village, their area, whatever it is, thrive in a way, you know, and I love that aspect of it. And so do you have something like that lined up for the Costa Rica trip where they're like Aaron's providing a chef for you guys, or you found one in that area?
So Blue Osa provides the chef. They have their own facility. Like, they have their own kitchen there, obviously, that we don't use, but they use for us. Mm-hmm. And it's all locally sourced, which awesome. Is amazing. And that's another thing about planning the retreats, like your food options. And, you know, people have lots of different allergies and food preferences and such, being very clear about what you're offering to them. So, like, I will, in my list that I will send out, I will state, like, in this particular one for Costa Rica, that this is an all vegetarian retreat. There mm-hmm. will be no meat. There might be fish, but there's not going to be any meat. So I've had people inquire about it and say, thank you for putting that on there, because, you know, I was considering going, but knowing that, like, that's just not my thing, and that's okay, maybe I'll catch you on the next one. That's totally fine with me. I don't want somebody showing up and going, what? We don't have any meat.
Right, yeah.
There's no meat here. There's no store in Costa Rica you can go down and get, you know, a steak from. It's not happening. So they're going to be stuck with what's there. So just being really specific about what's offered. But I've found that the food is phenomenal at these destination retreats. And the chef that we had at Topia was amazing with everybody's preferences. And sometimes preferences are health related, and sometimes they're just because.
Just because, yep.
And so he was amazing. And we even had, we had two participants who, mother, daughter, who were doing a specific, I don't want to say a diet plan, but it was kind of like a diet plan, a lifestyle change that they had both agreed to and were doing together. And so they split their meal and he would have it ready for them exactly the way that they wanted it. It was just, it was amazing. Huh. He was great. So, yeah, you depend on the facility to provide, usually, unless I was going to, this would be, I guess, another option for a retreat would be if I wanted to rent a facility myself, like, let's say an Airbnb.
Right.
And then I would have to find, like, a local chef to come in or bring somebody with me, which is like what I did for my local retreats, having Monica come there, and do the food. So, you know, that gives you a little bit more, you know, knowledge of knowing who's coming and being a part of making the menu, putting that together, which is fun to do too. But I learned from my very first retreat that I don't need to do it all.
Right.
I don't need to be the chef. I don't need to be the yoga teacher and do all the things. Like, I just, yes. Yeah. So
was that a lesson you learned after the first retreat you did of like, okay, there's too many hats to be worn by me. I've got my things that I'm really good at and dialed in at. I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to hire out for the rest of it.
Yes. I mean, that's a big part of it. Another part of it was that I just felt like my time, I wasn't able to spend as much time with the participants that I would have wanted to, and really get to know them and be available for them, because I was constantly doing something, preparing for the next thing we were doing, preparing for the next meal, washing dishes,
right.
Setting up for, you know, it was like constant. But for me, it was kind of a gradual process. Like, definitely the first retreat, I did everything and brought in a few people to help with little things here and there, but it was very minimal. And then the next one I had a month later, and even just in that short period of time, I was like, okay, I need to give up some of this. I need to have somebody come in and help. And then by the time the next one came around the next year, I was like, okay, so I'm going to do da, 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 and I'm going to have all these other people come in and help with all these other things. It's just, it makes it less stressful, obviously, for me, but I think it makes it for a better experience for the participants too.
Yeah.
That they have not just me there doing everything, that they have other people that they get to meet, like people like you, even people like when I had Brie come and I did the pop-up shopping. I mean, that's like really fun things and great people that they can now connect with in life. So it just adds to the experience.
Right. And it's important to remember that, you know, although you're the one that's facilitating, they're also there to hang out with you, right? There's something that's about you that drew that human being to this thing, whether they knew you already, they've heard about you, whatever it was, right? So creating the space to where you do have time to interact with your people, right? And be somebody other than just the teacher, right? I can sit next to you and have a cup of tea, you know, by the fireplace, and we'll talk about life. You know, it doesn't always have to be like, you know, the facilitator and the attendee, right? There's like this camaraderie that happens there.
I think so. I mean, not everybody is coming for me. I mean, just because I don't know all the participants, right? You get random people that sign up that you've never met before. But I found that I am definitely have a consistent repeat customers that come. So definitely, I think it's more that I have earned their respect, that they can trust me and they know that I'm going to provide the experience that I'm advertising. And so they like that they know what that they're going to get what they're paying for, basically.
Right.
And that I'm available to them. That's the biggest thing, is that I take it seriously and I know that I'm holding that space for those people and I am the one that's in charge and organizing it, and I'm going to take care of them, whatever the situation it's going to be. And that's my part in it. So,
Right. So
when I'm doing that, that takes a lot right there, just knowing that I'm the one that's holding all of the space and doing all of this. And then if I'm trying to do all the little details too, it's just ridiculous for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe there's people out there can do it, and kudos to them.
Right. Yeah. Right. But for me, I like a team.
Yes.
You know, I've always found myself, I work better with a team. I don't like to do things on my own. I'm fully capable. I can figure it out, but man, I like delegating, but I also like having somebody else hold me accountable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nice to have
it's
that
just
team.
More fun in general, doing it with other people. It's way more fun. And I think that now being a studio owner and, you know, being into it for the time that I have been now, seeing how incredible it is to have a team that functions really well together, that support one another.
Right.
Why wouldn't I carry that into the side of the retreats? Like, of course, like it all goes together, and I see it more and more the more that I'm, you know, immersed in this whole yoga world.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Well, you've said the responsible word a couple times. You know, like, I'm responsible for these folks, and so with that, you know, there's a layer of the protection that needs to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So there's insurance that you know the facilitator needs to have for the retreat itself. There's insurance that maybe travel insurance that the person attending the retreat should have. So with that side of it, like, you know, do you rely on, say, Blue OSA's insurance, or do you carry your own when you go down there as well?
That's a really good question, because it can be so different depending on what you're doing.
Okay.
So I'll just start with the destination retreats, because I think there's a little bit more to that. So because I do own a yoga studio and mm-hmm. I am running my retreat through my yoga studio, I want to make sure that my insurance covers me not only at the studio, but also in the sense for retreats. But that means B1, yes, as B1 as a studio, Tracy Strash, yes, as an individual instructor, but that's not going to cover anything that happens at that facility, because
okay.
that's the facility. So you want to make sure the facility you're going to has their own insurance.
Okay.
If somebody trips and falls, that's on the facility. That's not on the retreat person who, you know, the facilitator. So making sure that you have the proper insurance for the types of things that you're going to be doing. So that means, like, when I'm teaching yoga down there,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily as the facilitator, because as a facilitator, I'm working through B1, but I'm also renting a place from whoever, Blue OSA in this case, or Topia. So that's one layer of it. And then you want to make sure, I recommend, it's not a requirement, but I recommend that the participants get the travel insurance, because
okay.
that's something that, again, we wouldn't cover if anything happened traveling wise. If they had to cancel, that would be something they would have to deal with personally. So just to make that clear, then they can make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then what am I forgetting? I think that's all of it. I think that's mainly the main things. And then a local retreat is a little different. Yes, I'm still renting the facility, but having it be a local retreat, it can be more of an extension of the studio.
Okay.
So I can get coverage just for that period of time that I'm having the retreat. For example, when I did the Leavenworth retreat, I had insurance that covered me just those days that I was in Leavenworth as an extension of B1.
Mm, okay.
International, they're not going
it's
to do
not
that.
Keep that
it's yeah. a little too far reach.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and everyone's going to be responsible for, like, their own, you know, medical costs and things like that. If they have insurance, they don't have insurance, that kind of stuff. But if it's truly something that happened, let's say you're on an excursion, well, you would want the company that you are contracting with for the excursion to have insurance.
Right.
So you need to make sure the people you're working with are reputable. That's the bottom line.
Just do a little due diligence on your end.
Yeah. Just like owning a studio, making sure, you know, that the teachers have the certifications that they need.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same where when you're contracting with people, you want to make sure that they have the licensing and the the coverage that they need to have.
Yeah. And that layer is so important, especially if you're out of country, you know, to make sure that somebody's taken care of, that you don't have to ask questions about, you know, oh my God, is this covered? Is this whatever? It's like, no, get the human taken care of. Like, they've got insurance, we've got insurance, it's all taken care of. But just, it's at that layer of just safety and security, you know, yes. Just makes you feel better. Like, you can enjoy the experience knowing that you've got that little blanket of security over you.
Yes. And I'm not a huge fan of it in the sense of the cost of insurance.
Yeah.
It can be, you know, a lot of money, but it is for peace of mind. And definitely as a studio owner now, there's no way I wouldn't have the proper coverage that I would need to have. It would just be a ridiculous personal liability to myself to not be responsible and have what I need to have. But I think that there's a lot of feel good stuff in yoga. Mm-hmm. And you know, people get the idea they want to, I just want to go teach yoga and I just want to make people feel good and I want to have these great experiences. And they don't think about the legal side of things. And I do have a legal background. So I do, yeah. That does come to forefront for me where I'm like, okay, what does this mean in the long run or in this instance? So I think that it's good to put it out there for the people that maybe wouldn't be thinking about it, that it's smart to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had a woman on the podcast released last week, but probably 3 weeks from when this comes out. But Midge Murphy, she's a former entertainment lawyer who got her PhD in energy work and wrote a book, Practicing Energy and Ethics and Integrity, and basically talked about how websites, you know, are so troublesome for a lot of energy workers because we're the verbiage that we may be using or the dialogue that we might be promising that we're not really able to promise. And insurance was one of those big things that it was like, you know, a lot of people just don't have the proper insurance, you know, as yoga teachers, as facility owners, whatever that is. And, you know, for me personally, like for my personal self, like I don't feel like I need insurance, but that's my own personal thing for me, like as far as like medical insurance.
Like health insurance. Okay.
Health insurance, right? But if I'm holding space for somebody or I'm involving myself in the public, I need to make sure that I'm covered because you know, you don't have any idea what's going to happen to that person across from you, what injuries they have, what medical conditions they have, and just making sure that you're covered, you know, because we're in a blame-centric society. If something goes wrong, we have to be able to blame somebody because that's just the way it works. And don't be the person that's blamed. Or if you are, you've got some coverage, right? Make sure that you've got that layer of protection so you can do what you need to do in the light that you need to do it in.
Yes. And I mean, it can ruin businesses. People can go under if they don't have the proper coverage when something like that comes up. It's not something to mess around with.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to play catch up on something like that.
No. Yeah. No.
Well, with since we're talking about the nitty gritties and stuff, payment plans. So like a lot of these retreats cost like multiple thousand dollars, you know? So, and that's just, you know, say, like you said, not including the plane tickets, not including all this other stuff. So, you know, some of these retreats could cost, you know, say $2,000 to reserve your spot, and then your plane ticket's going to be $1,000. So I've seen a lot of retreats offer payment plans, payment options, things like that. So is that something that I think that's something that you've offered? And then what time frame do you usually give people if you do offer a payment plan?
So I think that when you're planning a retreat, it's really important to take into consideration, especially in international, the cost is going to be higher, that you allow enough time for people to be able to do something like a payment plan. I think if you don't, you're not going to get as many people, and it would affect your entire bottom line of your retreat. So for me, when I started doing it, it was really intimidating looking at the pricing of like, how can I ask these people to pay $4,000 to come to this, like, it's crazy. Like, I'm like, wow, how can I do that? And are they going to want to come? And are they going to want to pay this? You know? So it was important to, so a couple of things. Yes, I set up payment plans and I like to have a minimum of, I'd like to, a year, 12 months if you can.
Right.
Maybe you could do 10 months. But even then, you have to break it down. Take the cost and then break it down. What's that going to be on a monthly payment for them? How are you going to accept that? So what I typically do is I take a deposit to hold their spot, and then we set up the payment plan from there.
Okay.
So they can give as much as they want for that deposit, but I have a minimum. So like for this retreat, it was a minimum of
$500. Okay.
Some people gave more, and then that made their payment plan smaller. And then it has to be paid in full 30 days prior. I would not accept any payments past that date. Once they go on the retreat, if they haven't paid you, you're going to be chasing that money.
Yeah.
So, and really, you need the money ahead of time. You need it to pay for your cost. You need it to pay for the facility. You need it. It's working money. So you want that money to come in. But what's great on the other side of that is that these facilities that you're renting, they also provide payment plans.
Oh, so that's great.
You're not having to come up with $30,000 all at once.
Right.
So you can gauge it on that as well. If you know you have, they usually give you specific time frames. It's different with all of them. You always have a deposit, and then maybe a month later you have like another one, and then maybe it'll be 4 months later, and then like 30 days before you pay the balance kind of thing. Okay. So if you know you have these deadlines for payment, then you can set up your payment structure, payment schedule structure around that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mirror that a little
yeah.
Bit. Yeah.
So that, you know that money's coming in and you're able to pay. And then once it's paid, well, then you're able to use the money for other things. So that's the two sides of that. Let's see, what else were we saying about the payment plan? I lost track.
Well, I think the next part would be cancellations, So if there are cancellations, do you give... Okay, so if you cancel within this amount of time, you get a full refund. If you do outside of this, percentage back. And if you cancel by this, you don't get any back because it's too close to the date.
Right. So I think that, I'm going to do the cancellations, but I just remembered what I was going to go back to.
Okay.
So let me do that first. What I was going to say is when you're planning the retreat and you pick your area that you want to go to, let's say it's Greece, that's your next retreat you want to do, then I would go on and I would look up retreats in that area that you want to have it in. And I'd look at all the different pricing and I would look at all that includes. And then you base your pricing around that. It's really important because you could be way off. You could have it be way too expensive or you could be super low.
Right.
And so you need to find that happy medium. And you look at the duration. How long? How long is the retreat? What does the retreat include? Do they have payment plans? Do they not? Just whatever, like what their details are. And then that helps you build your structure of how you want to do it. So that's the part I meant to say.
Well, I like that because you're not recreating the wheel. Like you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's people out there doing retreats and wellness sides, and you can get some good ideas from what's going on out there already.
Yeah. I mean, for me, going to Costa Rica was like, okay, there's so many retreats out there. There's a ton. You can go to Costa Rica and go to a retreat for like $1,500.
Okay.
But it's usually like a 3-day retreat. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, that makes more sense. So it's 3 days. You still have to pay for your airfare to get there. You all these other things. And does it include your food? Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Does it include anything else? I mean, so it's just really important, even as a person putting it on, but as a participant, somebody going on retreat, make sure that you understand like what all of that includes.
Yeah.
So the refunds, refunds can be tricky because as you get further along, you may have already use the money to pay for whatever. And so you have to decide like where you're going to cut that off. Mm-hmm. So typically, if I take a deposit, it's non-refundable. Your deposit is your deposit because I'm using those deposits to maybe pay that initial payment or whatever it is.
Right.
And then I think it depends on the circumstances. So the wording, just you need it to be specific when you're putting things out there about those things. One time I've had to, well, no, twice, maybe three times now that I think about it, I've had to deal with a type of refund. So in the one case, we were within 30 days of the retreat. So typically if you're within, sometimes they'll say 60 days, 30 or 60 days, there's no refunds.
Right.
Prior to that, maybe you get a partial refund that doesn't include the deposit. So you can figure out, there's no set rule. Like you can decide, you can say no refunds whatsoever. You can say you don't get a cash refund, but I'll give you credit to another future retreat.
Okay.
And that's okay too.
So you're still keeping the revenue and just repurposing it. Yep.
So I've done both. So I've had one situation where we were very close to the retreat and the person, I think we were about 2 months out and the person had a family emergency situation and asked if she could get a refund. And I said, if I can fill your spot, I will give you a full refund.
Okay.
Because of those circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was able to fill her spot, so I gave her a full refund. I could have said, I'm giving you a partial, and she would have been happy with whatever. Like, she knew that it was close to the time. So I've done that, and I've also given people credit to the next retreat. So where they had scheduled one and then something came up. And so I took the full amount that they had paid and I didn't even apply it dollar for dollar. I just let them do the next retreat period, even if it was more money.
Cool.
Because that was just what I agreed to at the time. So I honored what I agreed to at that time. And then I had one where the people couldn't make it the last minute. It was a couple actually. And so they asked me to gift it. So I was able to really look at the people who had inquired about the retreat and their different life circumstances of maybe why they couldn't afford it and then offer it. And it was really a treat to be able to do that. And the people who weren't able to make it were really happy that it was used in that way.
Wow.
So you can agree to do whatever you want.
Yeah. You can really like work within your own moral standards and kind of figure it out from
there.
That's
the important part, right?
Right.
You know, every situation's different. That's how I look at it. So you just approach it. But if you want to be really specific, you can be. You can put that out there. When you put out those initial details, you could say, here's the refund policy, you know, period, end of story. And that's okay.
Right. And I imagine the more you do this stuff and the more like, you know, consistent feedback and the, you know, the maybe the problems that you're solving, the fires you're putting out, maybe that would lead you to maybe be a little more stringent about that in the future. But I like the humanistic side of it. You know, it's like, hey, we're humans, you're human, you know, like this is me trying to honor my business. This is you honoring your family. If we can all come together in a way and make it work, then fucking cool. Let's do that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
That's beautiful. Now with your retreat that's coming up soon in Costa Rica, let's talk a little bit more about that. So we talked about it's going to be April 20th through 27th and Blue Osa, which I've not made it down there. I'm going to get Aaron back on the show pretty soon. But you know, our co-friend Steve just got back from a teacher training down there. And I've loved the pictures I've seen. The atmosphere looks gorgeous. It looks amazing. So let's talk about the details of this retreat. So when do people have, are you still looking for people or are there still open spots?
We do have a few open spots. Okay. We have a couple rooms that are still available and there's different configurations of that. That can be a single person in that room. It could be two or three people because each room has three double beds in it. So there's lots of options there. And Blue Osa is really a unique little oasis where it's located in Costa Rica. It's much more secluded. Mm. And so a lot of, you know, most of the retreat's going to be at the, once we're there at the retreat center, we will be there the majority of the time, unless we do an excursion where they will come and pick us up, take us and bring us back type of thing. But there's not like a town to walk to. So we're in the jungle.
Cool.
But we're on the beach too.
So oh, yeah, Jungle Beach?
Amazing, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You get both. And this is a beautiful private beach that is swimmable, so that's super exciting that we have our own place to go and hang out. It has a pool. It has a little temple. We will have quiet hours that so people can disconnect where actually they turn off the Wi-Fi, which I love.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
No option, sorry. It's going. Yep. We're going silent for a little bit.
Yes. And so that's, and all the participants know this. This is all the information that I put in, as well as the meals are at scheduled times, but there's like a little leeway in that. So we'll be eating most of the meals together, which is awesome as well. And then of course, you know, our time that we get to do, we're going to be planning lots of fun. Of course, yoga, it won't be crazy high energy yoga. It'll be more restorative yoga. We're doing some breath work, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And we have fire pit ceremonies that we're going to be doing, which will include cacao. So that's exciting too.
Oh, yeah.
So we have some really fun things, some neat things, different things planned. The group that we have so far is pretty diverse. So it'll be people that have done yoga, people that have never done yoga. Love and that. So it's going to be great. So it's really for anybody.
Mm.
You know, you could come, bring a significant other, bring a friend, come by yourself, and there'll be something for everybody.
You know, folks that come on retreats by themselves, I love them so much. That's such a just a gutsy thing to do.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just going to go immerse myself with strangers for a week, for 3 days in another country and just like see what happens. Like, good for you. That's like the most adventurous thing that like could terrify the hell out of somebody.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think one thing about my retreats is that I really try to make it inclusive with the group that we have and make sure everybody feels like they're a part of it. And I take a lot of pride in that, to see that over a period of time now, you know, the friendships that have been formed. And of course, we have social media that helps us see things like right away more clearly that we maybe wouldn't be seeing every day anyway. But when I see that they're supporting each other, they are creating these friendships, it feels really amazing to know that, like, you created these connections. Not me personally, they're creating their own connection, but I provided the space for it.
Totally. The opportunity was, yes, yeah, definitely.
And an example of that is I just got a message from one of my previous participants. She's doing like a friendversary for Thanksgiving, and she's inviting everyone from the retreat.
Love that.
And I'm like, wow. That's amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot more to having these retreats than just making the money or, you know, getting to go to a fun place and have that experience myself. It's really creating that experience for people and the space for them to connect with other human beings.
Yes, most definitely. We need that. We need community. We need connection. We need the opportunities to find those things.
Yes. Yeah.
I just had one more question pop up. And it's, you know, I think because there's wellness in the retreat names, a lot of these wellness retreats, yoga, whatever it is. And when I did my Vipassana quote unquote retreat, one of the things they had in there was, this is not a rehab center. If you are mentally unstable or if you have an addiction issue, this is not your place to come get well, right? When you are well, please come find our facilities, but we're not set up to hold space for you to find sobriety.
Okay.
Has that ever come up in any of these kind of retreats to where maybe somebody's like, you know what, I'm going to go on this Costa Rica retreat and that's going to be my time. I'm going to stop drinking. And then I'm just going to go through the DTs and just figure it out because I'm surrounded by wellness people and I got fun shit to do.
So I haven't had that specific experience happen. What I have had happen was just part of the participants, you know, a few of the participants that came to a retreat had a different idea of what the retreat was about.
Gotcha.
Even though, you know, I put out there that it is a wellness excuse me, yoga wellness retreat basically is what I'm titling it as. But that's a pretty big umbrella of all the other things that happen. And I feel like these particular participants thought that it was more of a, let's come and have, because it was a weekend, it was a local one, you know, and gotcha, let's come and like party a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, the alcohol, I don't necessarily, I don't provide alcohol, mm-hmm, but I don't tell people that they absolutely can't have alcohol, but it hadn't ever been a problem. And I realized, okay, so maybe I need to have better like policies on that, yeah, just to make sure that people understand. Because if somebody's coming who doesn't drink and then all of a sudden you have a group that's like whooping it up every night in the hot tub.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's, they're going to feel uncomfortable. Right. So I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. So I have to find that fine line. So like if I've done like, let's say a champagne toast towards the end of the retreat for whatever reason, I will also have sparkling cider. Like I'll always have the different options for people, but that's not the main focus.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be the main focus. So like having the bars there, having the ability to get a drink, I'm not anybody's babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that, you know, there's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll cross that bridge when I come to it and hope that, I guess I could, I mean, when you say that, I could put in a little disclaimer about, you know, just making sure that they understand that this is not a place for recovery or a place for people, right, to just all of a sudden decide that they're going to have some life change.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be life changing in some way, but not in that way.
Yeah. Right? It might be the catalyst for you to start that journey, yes, but we're not here to support that journey, you know, and then we're not set up to support that journey.
So I kind of like that. That's a good idea. But on a more positive note of offerings, I forgot to mention that they do have a spa facility there too.
Ooh.
And so every participant who comes gets a $50 credit towards a spa service. Mm. So that will be going on the entire week that we're there as well.
That's, I mean, you know, the part that I've played in the retreats that you've done locally has been, you know, the Reiki energy healing and sound healing. And then you also had the massage and esthetician stuff there. And I have to say, like, that's one of the things that I see people just get so excited about is that personal care, whatever it is. It's like, you know what? I've never done energy work before. I'm in this atmosphere to try it. And, you know, from that, actually, from that scenario, I've gained like probably a dozen clients from those retreats that I've held for you or helped with you.
That's awesome.
You know, from just those people that have never tried this before, always heard about it. Now you're in a safe place. Your consciousness is open up to receive something different. And I'm going to dip a toe in. And all of a sudden, I just found something that helps change my life. You know, and that's the beauty about these experiences is you never know how impactful they can be. Right? Maybe, you know, release the expectation of like, this is going to change my life, but open yourself up for your life to be changed. Right? And that's where those opportunities present themselves.
Well, that's what I love about the local retreats and why, you know, I still try to keep a focus on those as well, is because you have, it's a shorter period of time, but we get that intimate connection right away. I like to start my retreats like on a Thursday night. So we have a full Friday and a full Saturday because it takes at least that first day for people to start warming up to each other.
Yeah.
But like you said, providing the different wellness opportunities. And I've never at any retreat that you've been providing, Ricky, have I ever had somebody come out and go, well, that was okay.
Right. Yeah.
They always come out and they're like, wow, that was really cool, or it was impactful, or whatever the case may be. Right. So I agree that I think that it puts them in a space where they're more comfortable. And sometimes people aren't even signed up for it. And you've always been great about, you know, if we have room, we can add them on. And so people decide at the last minute and they love it. And same with providing like massages or facials. It's all about taking care of themselves and providing this space where they really feel that they had this time, this downtime,
yeah.
Whether it's through the yoga, the meditation, the breath work, the fire pit ceremony, the Reiki, the massage, whatever. So I like having those weekend retreats where you can really focus on the wellness side of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit harder with the destination because there's so many other things going on too, but I definitely look for facilities that offer something. Right. So that was one of the reasons why I like Blue Oasis, because they had the spa facility there that we could utilize as well. So I think, you know, that's part of, when I started doing retreats, I always think of what would I like mm-hmm. at a retreat? Like I have to start somewhere. I have to have a base, right?
Yeah.
And I would like to attend a retreat. What type of things would I like? And I would hope that I'm attracting those people that would like those same type of things. Because there's so many retreats out there that you can do so many different things at. So we don't have to all be the same.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And I think when you take that roadmap too, you're approaching it from your authentic self. Yeah. And when we're being authentic with what our desires and our wants are, I mean, to me, that can't really go wrong, right? If you're being authentic, you're being honorable, and you're being honest with yourself, like those are such beautiful places to start.
And bringing in the people that really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It shows, and the participants really appreciate that. And you can see that. And speaking of going to other retreats, like that's something that for myself that I would love to do again,
mm-hmm.
especially after having all these retreats.
Yeah.
I just want to go. So I did like a one night one.
Okay.
Gosh, where are we at now? So it would have been last January. And I got the absolute most I could possibly get out of that 24 hours that I was gone. I wished it would have been a little longer, but it was awesome. So I think that even as leaders ourselves, we need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and we're filling our needs. And I think by providing that to myself, it makes me better at leading other things, whether it's being the studio owner or the leader of the retreats or a mom or a wife or a friend or whatever. Like it's just in life in general, taking care of ourselves helps us to be able to be more available to other people and gives you also a sense of your own wellness, your own being,
right?
Which is so important.
Well, and you gave me that opportunity yesterday. You had our staff appreciation day, and you know, I've been hustling doing sound baths for about 4 or 5 years now, and I've received maybe a handful in that time because I'm just busy and doing stuff. And you provided that yesterday with Lauren Acton, who's an amazing guest on the show too. And to that point, like it reminded me just how beautiful this feeling is when you can receive it, you know, cause I get the feedback and I was like, oh, that was great. Loved it. This, that, the other colors and people and all this stuff. Great. But I forgot what that feels like for myself, you know? So it is important to receive because we're giving so much that we need to make sure that we're receiving, not only just to make sure we're taking care of ourselves, but also to remind ourselves how powerful the modality is we're working with, mm-hmm. right? How powerful a retreat is that you can offer to somebody to get them out of their rituals and expose them to something different. Like, there's so much beauty and magic in that. And if we, I think if we can take the time to appreciate that, then it gives us, it renews that passion that we have for it, because we see the magic that happens from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're referring to the staff appreciation that I did yesterday. Yeah. So two things. First of all, when I decided to do the sound bath, I chose not to tell anybody what we were doing. I said, I have an event plan. It's this time to this time, you know, show up, be open, wear comfortable clothes. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And everyone kept asking. They were so curious, so curious. And I chose not to tell anybody it was a sound bath because I didn't want anybody deciding whether they thought they needed a sound bath or not, because everybody can use a sound bath.
Damn straight.
Everyone can use one.
Yes.
So especially those of us that are in this industry that are constantly giving, it's important to take a moment to receive. And the second part of that is every employee that has, I've spoke with yesterday and today about coming, they were so appreciative. Thank you so much for having that sound bath. But every single one of them has said, I'm so glad that Adam was there and that he could receive.
Oh, that's so sweet.
They all like acknowledge it. And they were like, it's so awesome that Adam could be there and receive it. Wow. And I was like, yeah. And oh, I know special. That it was very special to Lauren too. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. Wow. Well, Tracy, you're the best. And this is such good information for planning retreats, for attending retreats. I wish you all the success with this Costa Rica retreat coming up in April. For the couple spots that are left open, please reach out if you got information about it. I'll leave notes in the show notes. But you're the best. Thank you so much for all that you do, all that you're offering for the community, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun.
See you soon. Thank you so much for spending time with Tracy and I. If you'd like more information on the Costa Rica retreat that Tracy is booking, there is information in the show notes that you can link to. Also ways that you can support the show. Little basins and love. We'll see you next time.